Hello, Pistons faithful. Welcome to another episode of Inside the Cylinder. We're excited to bring you a fresh take this week. There wasn't much in Pistons news, so we're going to do a little deeper dive into the Eastern Conference, do an analysis of the bottom five teams, or at least who we expect to be the bottom five teams, and give them some offseason grades, our expectations for where they will finish in the Eastern Conference next year. Just do an overall analysis of where they're heading, what they're doing, and what that means for the Pistons. Thanks for tuning in. Lounge and had a couple of beers on the patio, and I snacked though this afternoon. I had a Quest protein bar.
How do you spell that? Q-U or Q-W?
Q-U-E-S-T.
Okay. I was concerned that it was going to be Q-W for some reason.
No. It was a big lunch though for me today, so I was properly appetited.
Nice. Stir fry, Thai.
Stir fry for me, yeah. Thai, stir fry, chicken, beef, jasmine, basmati, rice, and a Cliff Bar. Yeah. What about you for dinner?
I made burrito bowls last night, so I just kind of kept those going. I had, had the rice all cooked, the beans, had some chicken grilled up. Some salsa. It's good. It's good stuff. A little nice. Sour cream.
Always sour
actually
cream.
did the Greek yogurt thing,
instead of sour cream.
Yeah, it's not as good, but actually when you're just mixing all that shit together, it tastes fine.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you would approve. If I made you a plate, you'd be happy.
Tell me that it was Greek yogurt, then I would be. If you told me,
you would know. Like, you would definitely know, because it's like sour cream is just so much better. But I had the Greek yogurt, so I had to. And that's kind of what I keep it around for.
Sounds like you put it to pretty good use.
Yeah, yeah. Basketball? Are we doing this?
Yeah, let's chat. All right, a little hoops.
Let me just give them the breakdown. So I talked about this last week. We both talked about it. So we're going to be doing an off-season review of all the teams in the Eastern Conference. So this episode, we will be talking about the bottom tier teams, or at least who Joe and I have concluded that we think will be at the bottom or near the bottom of the Eastern Conference come, the end of next season. So we're going to give them, go over their moves, give them a grade, and then do a little projection of where we think that they might finish in the Eastern Conference. And that's pretty much it. So this episode's bottom tier. Next episode with a special guest is mid tier, and the third episode in the podcast series will be the top tier teams, and another special guest will be joining us then. So stay tuned. But yeah, let's get into this one, right?
Yeah, let's take care of the bottom feeders here. And thankfully, the Pistons aren't one of these teams. At least not according to us. So
no homerism at all.
No,
but honestly, no teams. Then I don't think any respectable sports media people or projections have the Pistons finishing with where these teams will be finishing.
Objectively, they're definitely not one of the bottom six teams in the Eastern Conference. So we will discuss other teams today, and there isn't much in Pistons news that took place over the past week. The one thing that did happen is Stanley Johnson scored 86 points in the OVO Summer League game. So, cheers to him. Excited about it. Hope he didn't pick up any bad habits. Just, laying it down, his strength on the little guys and forcing buckets. But good news from him. But anyways, let's get into these teams. David, who do you want to start off with?
Let's start with Brooklyn. Let's start with the Eastern Shoreboard. Brooklyn Nets. I think both of us had pretty strong grades for them, but I guess I'll read this one off, then you can get the next one. But so the Brooklyn Nets, in this offseason, they traded Brook Lopez for D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov. Timofey Mozgov had 3 years, $48 million left on his deal. So, you know, they utilized that cap space that they had to pick up a solid player in D'Angelo Russell. They also traded for Damari Carroll with the Toronto Raptors, who has 2 years left on his deal, $30 million left due to him. Now, I think this was also kind of one of those, you know, you have cap space, so you might as well flex some muscle with it. They scooped a first-round lottery-protected pick from the Raptors and also a second round in 2018. So they're doing what they have to do to acquire draft picks. They also traded for Allen Crabbe, who is due $56 million left on his deal, 3 years left. Andrew Nicholson, they traded Andrew Nicholson over to the Portland Trail Blazers, who I believe will be waived or stretched. Lastly, they drafted Jarrett Allen, the center out of Texas, who was on the Pistons' radar for where we were drafting. So, you know, for all those moves, I gave them a solid A. Or do you want to, yeah, we can talk about it, give the grade. We'll give the grade afterwards. But that was mine, just as a little kicker. I gave them an A for this, but let's talk about why.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just give my grade as well. I gave them an A-. And I think it's no secret that they were just huge winners this offseason, really across the board, just judging the lack of assets that they had and the lack of vision that they had, young developing players. All of those moves that you mentioned, in my opinion, are great moves for now and for the future. Specifically, D'Angelo Russell, who was on our radar as a potential Piston at one point in time in trade talks. Young guy, very talented, great court vision, good shooter. Kind of needed a refresh after everything that was happening in LA. You know, took on Timofey Mozgov's contract, got rid of Brook Lopez, who is not aging, but he's got to be right around 30 at this point in time.
He's on an expiring deal too, so you know, they weren't going to re-sign him. He didn't fit with any of their timeline moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. And so they picked up these guys, specifically D'Angelo Russell, who could be a franchise cornerstone moving forward. Absolutely fantastic move, and makes them watchable and relevant in the Eastern Conference now. On top of that, Damari Carroll, I thought, was another fantastic move. 31-year-old, can still defend decently well. Just basically took on his contract as well as picks, and I think that he's a guy that can maybe develop. Allen Crabbe, who you mentioned earlier as well, who's a guy that can shoot. We saw him torch the Pistons for three quarters last year. Another guy that probably needed a refresh just to get out of the shadows of CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. I think he can really thrive for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I thought, you know, a lot of people questioned the Crabbe deal because he is due a lot of money. $56 million over 3 years is no joke, but when you ship out a guy that's making $20 million over 3 years, it really does lighten the load. So, you know, I thought that was something, you know, he's pretty much on a 3-year, $12 million a year deal. If you're Allen Crabbe, if you just, you know, subtract what they shipped out, he's an excellent shooter. He doesn't need the ball in his hands too much. He can do a lot of like the, you know, spot up shooting, and you know, you can find him in rhythm and he'll take the shot. He's not afraid to take big shots, as we've seen. Yeah, you know, and Mozgov, yeah, he's got a lot of money left on his deal too, but you're the Nets and you know, don't really, most of your top end draft picks are next year's still gone. So, you know, you might as well play around with some of that cap space that you have and pick up guys exactly like D'Angelo Russell specifically. A guy like Allen Crabbe, who's still young, he's 25 years old. Damari Carroll, I think that's kind of a scenario where, you just see what you got in him. Like, his knees look pretty shot. Like, he didn't look too good to me that much last year in Toronto, but you get a first and a second round pick for him. So every move that they did was a move that made sense for their future, for their timeline. And you might have just picked up your franchise cornerstone in D'Angelo Russell. Like you said, Joe, definitely a guy that needed a fresh start. And, you know, I think the city like Brooklyn will embrace him, and he'll be, you know, although I think he might have been booed when he was introduced, or something like that. He was at Brooklyn, and I think they like, hey, D'Angelo Russell's here, and I'm pretty sure he was booed. But other than that, you know, it'll be good. I think it'll be a nice move for them, and yeah, I think they're very deserving of their A.
Yeah, and mad kudos to their front office, because what other options do they have other than making these moves? Again, they didn't have anyone they could really trade. They didn't really have draft picks. All they had was cap space, and so you have to fill that cap space in order to bring on guys that can maybe be difference makers coming from teams where they didn't really get their opportunity. So I thought their front office strategy was right on point, and despite what all these other, like, they were the only team out of all of these teams that won all of their offseason moves, in my opinion. So I will tune into some Nets games, and I think they're a team that could maybe beat some teams that otherwise they wouldn't have a shot in beating this year if D'Angelo goes off or Alan Crabb goes off. And I'm excited to see what they can do in the future.
Still have Jeremy Lin too. They have Chris LeVert.
Carl LeVert, yeah, out of Michigan. They have Sean Kilpatrick out of Cincinnati. So, I mean, they have some guys.
They do, and that's refreshing. I'm happy for them. Like you said, the Pistons had a chance at D'Angelo. Didn't get him. It is what it is. But I was happy to see that he went to Brooklyn. Joe, so they finished 15th, bottom in the Eastern Conference last year. Obviously didn't control their pick. Where do you have them finishing next year? Now I have our little thing down at the bottom, in case you want to keep track on our doc. The 15th through 10, since we're talking about six teams, where do you have them finishing next year, Joe?
Yeah, real quick, just one thing I wanted to mention. They also have Spencer Dinwiddie, who now they have Jeremy Lin and D'Angelo Russell. So hopefully one of those guys plays off the ball, because I would like to see Spencer get some run, because he played decent last year and I think he's earned it. But in terms of where I expect them to finish in the Eastern Conference, I would put them at 13th.
All right. So a slight improvement. Now, they're still not stacked on their roster, but they made the right moves and they made moves for the future. I actually had them all the way up to 11 just because I'm so not hot on the rest of the teams we're going to be talking about. Let's keep it New York, Joe. Let's move to the Knicks.
I'm down. Yeah, so Knicks are probably more known in their 2017 offseason for the moves that they didn't make than the moves that they actually did make, excluding Phil Jackson, who has departed as a New York Knick, and he's retiring to his farm in Montana to raise cattle and, I don't know, man.
Smoke weed.
I mean, it's just sure. Time for that guy just to sit in a chair and smoke a corncob pipe and just write another book.
What's in that corncob pipe? Corn cob pipe? I don't know.
But I don't want to know.
Peyote.
Probably. Yeah. So Phil Jackson is gone. I think everybody's excited about that.
I think the NBA is happy about that one.
I think Mark.
Too much.
Who's the former commissioner?
Oh, David Stern?
David Stern is very, yeah, he's glad to see him gone. We need new blood at this point in time.
Yeah, true.
Adam Silver is definitely glad to see him gone. But, so he's out. Carmelo Anthony is still with the Knicks, as is Porzingis. The moves that they did make, they signed Ramon Sessions. They signed Michael Beasley just recently to the vet minimum for 1 year. They retained Ron Baker on an interesting contract, 2 years, $9 million. They also, the biggest move that they made was signing Tim Hardaway Jr. from the Atlanta Hawks, signing to a massive contract, 4 years, $71 million. And then they lost Derrick Rose as well as Justin Holiday. So a lot of littler moves.
They drafted Frank Ntilikina as well.
I'm sorry. They also drafted Frank Ntilikina. So a lot of moves they made, a lot of moves they didn't make. David, what do you make of that?
I guess so there's a few moves that I just don't think move the needle at all. You know, you sign Beasley and Sessions to, you know, 1 year vet minimums pretty much. Whatever. I guess, you know, they can come off the bench and, you know, you hope you get some life out of them. The Ron Baker move, I think we got to talk about that, Jay. 2 years, you know, $4.5 million a year. He looks like a guy that should sort of be hanging on for his NBA life, but instead, I think he will be, and a lot of people that I've heard on, you know, on NBA Twitter, on, you know, different publications and whatnot, think that he's going to be the starter going into next year. You know, as I, you know, said to you earlier, Joe, say what you will about Derrick Rose, and, you know, maybe he's obviously not the player that he used to be, but he had a pretty good season last year. He shot the ball at like 46, 47%, and he averaged 18 points per game. The Knicks finished 31-51 last year. Garbage. And they are moving, they're definitely downgraded at their starting point guard, in my opinion, in Ron Baker. I don't know, Joe. Tell me what you think about that move. I thought that was awful.
I don't see why you would sign a guy to a $90 million contract when he scored 4 points a game last year, two assists per game, and 1.9 rebounds per game. I just don't know what makes the difference between a guy who has those stats and gets that contract and a guy who has those stats and then ends up going to China next year. Like, I really do not know.
Did you see him play at all last year, by the way? Did you see much? Like, there was a little bit of, like, frenzy. I think it was like the token, this white guy's putting up some number, like not putting up numbers, but like elevating the crowd a little bit. Like there's some of that, like, I don't know, you just kind of see that stuff sometimes where
you got that with Kyle Singler too, like where he got a decent contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder and he just had no place on an NBA floor.
So the thing with Ron Baker is he's a smart player. He knows when to make the right pass. He's not going to shoot you into a hole. But he just can't do much on offense. There's a reason he averaged that many points. It's not just because of his minutes per game. It's going to be, you know, he's not going to be a guy that's going to fill the stat sheet for you. Not that you really need him to with Porzingis and Melo, but I don't know. I think that's just a huge net downgrade when you're talking about your point guard option. And, yeah, just not very high on it.
He's just not going to be a difference maker.
Good for him, but I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, no. But other than that, I mean, they made the draft pick, Frank Ntilikina, drafted him over Dennis Smith Jr., drafted a project over a guy who has outperformed expectations this summer so far, but you also did know what you were going to get out of Dennis Smith Jr. He's supremely athletic, he's good with the ball, he's a playmaker, etc. With Ntilikina, he's a project, and you don't really know how he's going to develop and what the future is going to behold with him. So I thought that was a miss.
Yeah, I thought that was a reach. You know, that's what I would say. If I were the Knicks, I would have much rather drafted Malik Monk. Definitely would have rather drafted Dennis Smith Jr. You know, I think if you need a point guard, you get the guy that looks like, you know, that looks like Russell Westbrook and prime Derrick Rose. You scoop that guy. You don't get the guy that's like, he's a little slow, he's not very athletic, you know, he might be turned into a good pick and roll basketball player, he's got a high IQ, he's long. Like, yeah, sure, like those are all kind of nice attributes, but like the NBA is made of superstars, and Dennis Smith Jr. just looks like one that's ready to just emerge on the scene quickly. So I thought that was a miss as well, Joe. I'm not very comfortable like talking about you know, draft picks, is I'm not a talent evaluator. Like, I'm usually wrong when it comes to the draft. But I think that Dennis Smith Jr. was one of those guys that looked pretty clear cut.
Yeah, it's hard because people were saying similar things about Porzingis 2 years ago.
True.
And look what he's become. So, you know, you don't know whether he's going to be a Porzingis or a Jan Vesely. And, you know, there's guys like us don't know the difference.
Marco Bellinelli.
And only time will tell. So,
yeah. Grades, Joe.
Grades. Well, should we talk about Tim Hardaway Jr. really quickly?
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Sorry. There's that elephant in the room. I don't know how I didn't see it.
Yeah, I mean, 4 years, $71 million a year, a guy that they drafted and then traded, brought him back.
I think says it all. Like, doesn't that say it all, kind of? Like, you had him, you let him go. Did they trade him to the Hawks, or did he sign there as a free agent?
They traded him to the Hawks. I forget what they got in return, but okay. Just the nickiest of Nick moves, man.
They told him when he re-signed. I saw this in some sort of report, but they told him, it's like, hey, you know, congratulations, welcome back to New York. You know, for you to kind of step up and earn this contract, you're going to need to play better on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball.
Shoot better, pass better.
Play better. Be a better player than what we just paid you for, please.
Yeah, I just don't. I think the difference between the Nets and the Knicks for me is that I at least see where the Nets are going. Yep. I get what they're doing. I see what the blueprint is for where they are trying to head. With the Knicks, I don't really know. I mean, because they have Carmelo Anthony still, who they're trying to trade, 33 years old, I want to say.
No trade clause as well, so they can't move him anywhere. He has to approve of the trade.
He only wants to go to one team, and that's the Rockets. So that doesn't really give them any leverage either.
Or I guess you'd probably go to the Cavs, but what can the Cavs give them? Like, you know, it's... But yeah, you're right, Joe. Sorry.
No, he's been very vocal about going to the Rockets. He's always wanted to stay in New York, but I think with the cloud of negativity surrounding him, he's ready to get out and accept the fact that he's not going to turn the Knicks into a contender. And so, again, yeah, so they're kind of stuck in between a rock and a hard place with Carmelo Anthony, and then they have Porzingis, and they have some of these young guys. They signed Tim Hardaway Jr. to a massive contract. So,
who are you excited about on their team other than Kristaps Porzingis? And I guess we'll just put Frank Ntilikina as like a, we'll see. You know, like it could be exciting, sure, but we'll just put him as like a net, like whatever, right now. But other than those two, I guess, who on their roster excites you?
I like Hernan Gomez actually a lot. I think he's going to be.
So do I.
I think he's going to develop a little bit. But again, that's another one of those guys with Hernan Gomez and Kristaps. You could start building around them right now. Whereas I'm not. I feel like they're just trying to put band-aids over everything as opposed to just accepting the fact that they're a sick team and they need to just, you know, really heal themselves from their innards and just, you know, figure out where they're going.
And also, so, let's not forget that they're still reeling from the Joakim Noah deal last year. Like, 80-something mil over four. Like, oh my goodness, dude. And then you bring in Tim Hardaway Jr., which isn't going to look that bad because at least Tim Hardaway Jr. stays on the floor. But you're just... It was really a Hail Mary. Like, kind of, like, close your eyes and see what... Like, it's like a kind of like a car crash. Like, you just kind of close your eyes and you hope you're going to be okay. But I don't know. I don't think there's much confidence in the organization with Tim Hardaway Jr. But he's a fine player, but just not at that dollar amount.
What's your grade offseason?
I gave them a F. Straight up F.
I gave them a D minus. I gave them a D, actually. I didn't give them a D minus.
Ooh, okay. Well, this will make this next team interesting. Yeah. Moving on. Oh, wait, well, actually, no, yeah, where
do you
have
expect
them
to finish?
I have them finishing, let me just see here, looking at these other teams. I have them finishing 14th, second to last in the Eastern Conference.
We disagree. I have them finishing 10th. I think they have they have the best two players out of any of these teams. And okay. I think Tim Hardaway Jr. is up there as the top 10 player out of all of these teams. And so I think that if Porzingis can take another step, if he really, really blooms this year, then I think they can have a decent record, maybe trade Carmelo at some point and be a semi-factor.
I just can't see that. Like, if you're 10th in the Eastern Conference, like, you're going to be vying for a playoff spot. Kind of, you know, you'll be in that mix. I just don't see it with them.
But one of these teams will be.
You're right. And I have my team that I think will be. But I don't think it's them. I think a lot of it has to do with not their talent. I think a lot of, because their talent wasn't bad last year and they finished 13th. A lot of it just has to do with the Knicks, man. Like, their organization is so messed up that I just think that they're going to piss off Porzingis sometime during the season. You know, they're either going to trade or not trade Melo. If you trade them, then you're going to get back probably worse players. I don't see them, like, you know, making a surge after that trade. I just don't see – I see a couple good players, but I just don't see a team. That's kind of where it is. I don't see a team, and I don't see, like, trust in the organization. So I think that they're just going to kind of shoot themselves in the foot to a worse record than they should be. And, yeah, I have them 14th.
I think it does have to become Porzingis' team this year.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
All right, next team. The Hawks. They made quite a few moves this year, this offseason. So I think it first starts off with they announced that Mike Budenholzer has resigned as president of basketball operations. And they also removed Wes Wilcox from their general management spot. He's going to move to, like, a special advisor role. But that means, you know, Mike Budenholzer is one of two guys, now Doc Rivers as well, where they're only going to be coaches. They're not going to be prez of basketball ops. They're going to be only coaches. And, you know, Stan Van Gundy, there's been articles written about that happening next for him. So we'll see what happens in that front. But that's the first move for the Hawks. So what they do in the draft, they scooped up John Collins, that big boy, that like power forward, not big boy, but like really cut, power forward from Wake Forest. They drafted Tyler Dorsey, who I don't know a thing about. The biggest move that they did this year was they traded Dwight Howard for Miles Plumlee and Marco Bellinelli. Now Plumlee has 3 years left on his deal, $37.5 million left on that contract. Howard was expected to make $47.3 million over a two-year span. Bellinelli is on a one-year $6.6 million contract. So that is essentially like a net almost. And they're going to have more money on the books for a longer time. So we'll get back to that. They signed Dwayne Dedmon on a $14 million over two-year deal from the San Antonio Spurs. They re-signed Mike Muscala, whatever. They re-signed Ersan Ilyasova. And they refused to match on Tim Hardaway Jr. Also, in a trade that moved Danilo Gallinari from Denver, they picked up Jamal Crawford and Diamond Sohn. Both of those players were waived. And I believe they received a future first-round pick from the Clippers. So they got a draft pick in that trade. But yeah, that's all of their moves. The biggest move was definitely the Dwight Howard deal, and then kind of the draft. So, Joe, where do you want to start with this one?
Just a lot of question marks, really. I think starting with the draft, I'll go with the positives. I thought they had a really good draft. John Collins has revealed himself to be a guy that has a lot of talent. People are throwing around the nickname John the Baptist because he's been baptizing guys with some nasty dunks. And I actually worked with a guy from Atlanta who is just goes on and on about John Collins. So that's something exciting for them moving forward. Tyler Dorsey, point guard out of Oregon. A lot of people are high on him. I haven't watched a lot of his tape, but pretty solid draft overall. Nothing that's going to be a huge game changer this year for sure. But it's really the other moves that have been the main makeover for this team. Like you touched on, Dwight Howard going to the Hornets. The trade in and of itself, getting rid of Dwight Howard is fine. I'm okay with that, getting rid of his contract. But like you said, taking on another large contract for a guy that just virtually gives you no productivity.
All right, Joe, let me stop you real quick. The NBA pundits and everyone that I see and follow, a lot of podcasts and stuff that I listen to, They think that this Miles Plumlee contract is right now the worst contract in the NBA. Straight up.
What did he average last year? Like 2 points, 2 rebounds, something?
He was traded last year. He was traded from the Bucks to Charlotte, and I don't think he did much. He's not a difference maker. He's not the best Plumlee, we'll say that.
2 points, 1.7 rebounds. That's only 9 minutes per game. But yeah, that's really bad.
That is not good.
That was for Milwaukee. Then he got traded to Charlotte, and he averaged 2 points and 3 rebounds. And not many minutes, but what the hell are the Bucks doing in the first place giving that man that sort of contract?
$12.5 million a year, dude. That's what Plumlee's making.
Yeah, unreal. So you're not just shedding a contract in that situation.
Nope.
You are receiving another contract that is a little bit less than the one that you got rid of, but you're just not getting any return on the floor for it.
You also got Marco Bellinelli in that deal. So
who's actually better?
Who's better, but you're getting his $6.6 million deal. So that making the difference in the dollars shrink. So now it's only a $6 million deal. My biggest issue with the deal is not only the productivity that you're not getting on the floor, you're now spreading that all this bad money over 3 years instead of having it only for 2 years for Dwight Howard. Like, I feel like you could have traded Dwight Howard for something better than that, like scraps, you know, and you would have at least saved yourself the pain of picking up those horrible contracts. So,
crazy to think that Brooke Lopez really was traded for D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov, and then
yeah,
Dwight Howard was traded for Miles Plumlee and Bellinelli. So, I this is a situation where I just don't know where they're going. If I could have some sort of understanding of what they're trying to do here, rebuild, shed some contracts in order to sign some guys in the future to build around Dennis Schroeder, I would understand it. But I'm just not really understanding.
They waived Diamond Stone, who's like a second-year player, the guy out of Maryland who was like, he's definitely a project, but isn't that a guy that you kind of pick up and you throw him down to the D-League and, you know, you just see what you have in him? He's super young. Like, that's what you should be doing, is just going young. You have Torian Prince. You have, you know, John Collins. You have Kent Bazemore. You have some young guys that might make sense if they grow together. But just as these other moves and these bad contracts, they're like, they're handcuffing themselves right now when they should be freeing themselves.
You take on some projects and you see what comes of it. And all these guys that they received aren't projects. We know what they are. They're older and they have contracts already. So I don't know. They also lost Paul Millsap. So they're definitely out of the playoffs. And
grade.
Who knows, man. Grade for me was an F.
No, yeah, I just downgraded them from, I just gave them a D minus. The only reason I didn't give them an F was, you know, I thought the Dwayne Dedman deal was solid. You know, you pick up a guy that's going to be good. You might be able to trade him at the trade deadline for some assets or something like that. He's a solid guy that can produce. And I really like the John Collins draft pick. So that's the only reason I'm not giving them a straight up F, but D minus for me. And Joe, where do you have them finishing?
So I have the Knicks at 10. I have the Nets at 13. I have them.
Dun, dun,
15. Down. 15.
Same here, my friend. That team is boo boo.
And the only reason why they're not 16th is because of their coach.
Well, there is no 16 as well, so there's only 15 slots.
My bad. Well, I thought about moving them up just because of their coach.
All right, so do you have them at 14 then?
No, they're 15.
So dead last.
Yes.
Same. All righty. Moving on up. The Orlando Magic. Joe, you want to hit them with their moves?
And now a quick word from our sponsor. Do you play daily fantasy? If so, you should be playing on Draft. Get this. Your chances of winning on Draft are almost 3 times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. The data shows almost 90% of players lose on DraftKings. On FanDuel, over 40% of the money goes to just 1% of the players. If you're not a pro and not spending hours a day on fantasy, you should be playing on Draft. You'll win more often. It's statistically proven. On draft, you do a simple snake draft, just like at the beginning of your season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last for just one day, and they take only minutes to complete. Join me. Download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store, and it will come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code ALMIGHTY100 when you download, and you will get a 100% bonus when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter the promo code ALMIGHTY100. That's ALMIGHTY100. Now back to David and Joey for some Pistons basketball.
Yeah, Orlando Magic still dealing with an identity crisis. Nobody can really figure out what's going on there. Drafted Jonathan Isaac out of Florida State. Signed Jonathan Simmons from the San Antonio Spurs on a pretty good contract, $20 million over 3 years. Also signed Shelvin Mack for 2 years on a $12 million contract.
Does that get like a little bump for you because his last name's Mack? I think you guys are related. I'm not sure.
I'm indifferent to Shelvin Mack. good question, though.
But, thick neck. Thickest neck in the league.
Is that right?
I don't know, dude. He's like, doesn't really have a neck. It's like, he's got a massive head, so he kind of looks like a turtle.
Deshaun Stevenson had a really thick neck.
He's still balling right now, too, by the way.
Big three?
In the big three, yeah.
Wow.
All right, sorry.
That's good. Back to the Magic. Picked up Mo Buckets, Maurice Spates, on a 1 year, $2.1 million contract. Also, Aaron Aflalo is going back to Orlando. Signed him on a 1 year, $2.3 million contract. Lost Jeff Green. Waived CJ Watson. David, what the hell is going on in Orlando?
I guess I'm just going to start with their first move. Drafting Jonathan Isaac. I think that's a great move. You know, a lot of people were, you know, everyone was talking about Donovan Mitchell after he balled out in Summer League. But, like, stop it. Nobody had Donovan Mitchell in the top five. So I thought the Jonathan Isaac move was a good pickup.
Can I disagree with you on that before we move on?
Okay, that you didn't like Isaac at four?
I really like Jonathan Isaac. I just think with their roster, it doesn't make any sense to me because they're stacked at that position. I mean, yeah, they have Hezonja, they have Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, true.
I just don't – they're just in love with small forwards. I thought they should have picked up Dennis Smith Jr. and gotten a point guard and just – rid themselves of the Elfrid Payton experiment and just moved on.
I think they're keeping up with the Elfrid Payton experiment. Well, you think they should?
To me, that's a problem. Yeah. Okay. I think it's over with.
Yeah. He looked good at the end of the year last year. I'm going to give Elfrid Payton the benefit of the doubt. It's very hard to analyze the Orlando Magic players themselves because the organization just doesn't know what they're doing. They just did that trade. They got Ibaka out of town, months after they signed him. They have Bismack Biyombo at power forward who can't stretch the floor, you know, looked awesome in the playoffs, and then you scoop him up and pay him a ton of money. I think, so what I can say is I'm not judging them on their moves that they did last year. They did pick up a new president of basketball operations and a new general manager. So I'm just going to get this like as a fresh slate. I thought most of these moves were good. You know, I'm fine with the Jonathan Isaac pickup. He's a guy that might show the ability to stretch the floor. Jonathan Simmons, I thought that was like one of the best contracts for the team, not for the player, but one of the better contracts that I saw this offseason. You know, he's making less money than Ish Smith. We'll just say that. They signed Shelvin Mack. 2 years, $12 million. That's, you know, a little high, but he's going to be a solid backup point guard. Mo Spates, Mo Buckets, you know, whatever. That's a net for me. Aaron Aflalo, that's a net. He can hit the three. That you didn't, you know, you left. You're done with the Jeff Green experiment. Fine. CJ Watson, he doesn't move the needle. So, all in all, I'm fine with their offseason. I don't know what they're going to be next season. I'll just say that. And actually, sorry. That's all. That's all I have to say about them. But for their offseason, I gave them a B-. I don't really need to talk too much about the Magic.
Really? I have problems with Magic and their front office. And
it's a new front office, though.
just in general, whatever's their, I guess their ownership, their management, okay, whatever it is, all of the moves that they've made in the past 5 or 6 years, just rarely is there one that I've agreed with. And the Pistons have taken advantage of that before, and rightfully so. They have some good young players. They have Fournier. They have Aaron Gordon. They have Bismack Biyombo. They have, Vucevic.
Vucevic, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, Vucevic. Alfred Payton. All pretty solid young assets. And then they're signing 31-year-old players on decent contracts. I'll give you that. But they're not a playoff team. And they're not going to make it into the playoffs next year or in the foreseeable future. So what are they doing to get better? Like, what is the blueprint here on out? I just don't understand. I think if you're really trying to make a splash, you trade one of those young assets. And then you build around one of the assets, whether that's Fournier or Gordon, I don't really know. But I think they need to make some significant moves, or else they're just going to be a... I would be a frustrated fan if I was rooting for the Orlando Magic.
I couldn't imagine being an Orlando Magic fan. I literally couldn't. Like, that's... I feel so bad for those guys. Like, no rings. You just made it the finals. You had the awesome Penny Hardaway Shaq years. And then now you're just been in this, you know, repeat cycle of of questionable moves. But I think most of their moves this offseason were good. I like Jonathan Simmons, like I said, Shelvin Mack, Isaac. I like all those moves. So that's why I gave him a B-. Wait, what did you give them, Joe? What was your grade?
I haven't said my grade yet. But I think the reason why I'm giving them a low grade is for the moves that they didn't make, not the moves that they did make. I just think they should have made some bigger moves instead of sign veterans to bargain contracts. I gave them a D.
Okay, that's fair. Maybe I'm a little generous with them because they have been so bad.
But again, you know what I mean? They have all of these really solid, talented, developing young players, and they're just not making any significant moves. I think they should just build around one or two of them and trade the rest and see what they can get, young guys.
I agree. Because I don't really know where they're going directionally speaking. I actually am moving around my top 15 after talking about this, or my bottom 15, my bottom 10 through 15. I have moved the Knicks up to the 13th spot. So right now, my outlook is... the 15th ranked team is the Hawks. The 14th ranked team is the Magic, just because I don't know what that team is. The 13th ranked team for me is the Knicks. And then I have the Nets at 11th. Joe, where do you have them?
The Magic?
Yeah.
14th.
All right, so we agree on 2 of 4 so far. 2 teams left. Let's get it. This is where it gets a little more juicy.
Central Division.
Central Division. This is what makes me happy. Pacers. The Pacers have traded Paul George for Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. Oladipo, say what you will about him, but you know he's got a hefty contract on his on the books right now. 3 years, $62 million left. They also traded for Corey Joseph, who has $8 million due to him on a one year left on his contract. They let go of Larry Bird, or Larry Bird left. I don't really know what happened there, but he gone. They signed Darren Collinson to a $20 million over a two-year deal. Only $2 million of that is guaranteed in the second year, so I think that's, you know, if they don't like where he's at, they can just waive him. They also signed Bojan Bogdanovic. $21 million over 2 years, like the Darren Collinson deal. Only $1.5 million is guaranteed on that second year. They drafted TJ Leaf out of UCLA. They waived Monte Ellis. They waived Kevin Serafin. They lost CJ Miles, and they lost Jeff Teague in free agency. Joe, elephant in the room, obviously, here is the Paul George trade.
Yeah, they were in a tough spot due to the Paul George situation. He said he was going to leave in free agency next year. So either you're going to get value for him right now, or you're just going to lose that value and get nothing in return. So they're stuck in a pretty sticky situation. I think in return, they didn't get as much as they could have. That's my opinion. I don't really know. I think they could have waited to trade him and tested the market a little bit more. Oladipo, decent young player. I don't
16
think
16 points per game over his year, over his, you know, duration of his NBA life.
I don't foresee him being an all-star. Sabonis, I think, was a solid throw-in on that deal, or not even a throw-in. I think he was a big piece that made the Pacers.
Wouldn't you have liked them to get a trade? Wouldn't you have liked them to get a draft pick, though? Here's how the Pacers see it. That they got two lotto picks, because Sabonis was 10th overall, and, you know, Oladipo was 2 a few years, 3 years back now. But don't you think that they should have been able to get... The general move is for a superstar is you get a ready-now player, you know, Oladipo, a project type of player in Sabonis, and then a draft pick. I thought that they could have at least gotten a draft pick.
Possibly, yeah, but I think the fact that his contract was had only 1 year left on it, and there was a lot of teams that he was verbally not going to re-sign with, I think that was a big factor in that. But maybe they could have held out and gotten a draft pick out of it. That would have made the trade look a lot better. All of that being said, picked up Darren Collison, picked up Corey Joseph, two elite backup point guards. Those two on the same team, I don't really understand necessarily. Drafted TJ Leaf, who has a similar skill set as Domantas Sabonis. I don't really understand how that's going to work out. And then just lost several players who are veterans that, you know, were a big part of them making the playoffs last year. So it's clear they're rebuilding. I'm just not really sure what their plan is with the rebuild, if that's going to be around Oladipo and Sabonis and Stevenson and Miles Turner, of course. But they're clearly not going to be a playoff team next year. I gave them a D+.
I gave them an F. I didn't like TJ. I don't like the TJ Leaf. I don't think he's going to be a very good NBA player. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. I don't like the Paul George trade. I thought that they could have done better. Now it's easy for me to say that, but I do think that they could have done better if they would have, you know, been more patient or maybe managed the situation where the agent didn't like blabbermouth. Like maybe they had like a bad relationship with the agent or Paul George where it was just let out, where you could have kept it a little bit tighter to the chest. I don't hate all of these deals. Like Bojan Bogdanovic, like he's a, you know, he can stretch the floor. He can hit the three at a high clip. Darren Collison, not a bad player. I think that's too much money. I think 20 mil over 2 years is too much. I don't really like that deal. Corey Joseph, I love Corey Joseph. I think he's going to be the starting point guard going in next year. But, I just don't see the direction with them. It's like one of those like soft rebuilds. But it's not like they're not good enough to do a soft rebuild where I don't think that they're going to be able to. I don't think they're going to be able to make the playoffs, but I don't think that they're going to be god awful because they have a lot of players that can play. Like, you know, Corey Joseph can play. Darren Collison can play. Lance Stephenson, who knows what he can do, but he's shown an ability to play. Miles Turner's good. Sabonis looks good in spurts. Oladipo can play. Like, I think that there's a lot, like, Bojan Bogdanovic can play. Like, there's a lot of good guys on their team that can play. Just none of them are difference makers, and I don't think their timeline makes sense.
They also have Al Jefferson and Thaddeus Young.
Yeah, true.
As well, like, who are a couple of vets who will likely start on that team. Maybe not Al Jefferson, he's probably coming off the bench.
So for all those reasons, I have them, you know, I thought they're great as an F for the offseason, but I think that they're the best team of all these bad teams. Just because I think that they have the most amount of players on their team that can play and not really too many players that need, you know, it's not going to be a me situation. So for those reasons, I think that they're going to be, you know, the 10th ranked, you know, team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. I have them ranked 13th, and
You have the Nets 13th.
I'm sorry. I have them 14th. My bad.
You have the Magic 14th.
Oh, my bad. They're 12th. So I'm going to do a switcheroo like you did.
All right. Who's moving where?
Nets are 12th. Pacers are 13th.
Okay.
I just really don't like their lineup. And maybe this is just me not liking their lineup. And I guess they're not a team I want to see on NBA League Pass.
That's hell. No. No way. Let's get to this last team, Joe. I'll let you hit them with it.
Yeah, last team. Chicago Bulls.
Chicago Bulls. Your Chi-town.
My Chi-town, not my Chicago Bulls, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Your city. You, Kanye.
My city.
Kanye, you.
Common.
Et
cetera. Bulls had a big offseason, so they traded Jimmy Butler to the Minnesota Timberwolves. In return, they got Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and the 7th overall pick, which turned into Lauri Markkanen.
They did a pick swap on that, though. They traded Jimmy Butler and their 16th pick this year for Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Minnesota's 7th pick.
What did I say about the 16th pick?
You didn't mention that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they pick swapped, so they didn't retain their draft pick. They just got the Timberwolves. They signed Justin Holiday to a 2-year, $9 million contract, re-signed Felicio, waived Rajon Rondo, and Michael Carter-Williams isn't going to be a Bull next year, and maybe might not be in the league, who knows, with him at this point. But not a ton of moves. They just made one really big move, and that was the trade for Jimmy Butler. David, give it to me.
Okay, so after seeing what Paul George netted, and I know Jimmy Butler has 2 years left, so it's a little bit different, and kind of seeing like what Boogie Cousins netted in the offseason, I'm not super, super mad. People hate this trade for the Bulls. But Jimmy Butler didn't seem like he liked it there. He always seemed like disgruntled. There's like been rumors that there's kind of like some friction in with the Darpax guys or Garpax, whoever those the front office of the Bulls with Jimmy Butler. I like Zach LaVine. He's coming off a torn ACL, so I really hope that he doesn't lose, you know, that athleticism. But you know, he's a great shooter. Chris Dunn, he's a project. A lot of people think he's a bust, but I don't think you can call a guy a bust after 1 year. And the 7th pick, I don't like the pick swap. I don't think that if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, I don't think that you walk away from that deal because you want that 16th pick. You know what I mean? I think you could have kept your pick, picked up a guy like John Collins as well, and then also got the 7th pick. So I think that's the biggest like thorn in my side. Is that they did a pick swap when it's like, yo, you're getting Jimmy Butler. Like, you should be happy with this. And, yeah, we're keeping our pick and we're getting your pick. So I don't like that they did a pick swap. And I also don't like the pick. I don't like Lauri Markkanen. He's one of those guys where he might be awesome. He could be really awesome. He looks like he just is wet from outside. He played really well in summer league. But you passed up what I thought, you know, Dennis Smith Jr., he's going to keep coming up because I really think he is that good. You pass up Dennis Smith Jr., you pass up Malik Monk, Donovan Mitchell, I know, whatever. But, I don't like the pick, and I don't, you know, I don't like the pick swap, and I don't like the trade.
Yeah, a couple different things to note with that trade. So, unlike the Paul George trade, Jimmy Butler is not an expiring contract. He has 3 years left at a decent deal for the production that he's going to give you. So they didn't have to get rid of him. They could have held on to him and kept him a Bull.
He's got 2 years. 17,
18, 18, 19, and 19, 20. He's got a player option the third year.
Oh, okay.
So, which he probably would have re-signed. And that is due to the fact that he had problems with the front office. He loves Chicago, and Chicago loves Jimmy Buckets. So it's a shame that this had to happen. But I do think that's a huge factor in the trade with the return, as opposed to the Paul George return, is that it didn't have to happen. All of that being said, I think that the main piece in this trade, and I guess we disagree on this, I think the main piece in the trade was Lauri Markkanen. I'm extremely high on Lauri Markkanen. I think he's going to be a stud in the league. I've watched a decent amount of his highlights being in Chicago. I have a lot of friends who are Bulls fan, Bulls fans. I've watched his highlights. He's swift on his feet. He's wet from deep. He's athletic. He's a solid seven-footer. He just doesn't look like a guy that's going to run into knee issues. He can put the ball on the floor, and he also has a good post game. I think he's going to be a future All-Star.
Okay. Him or Dennis Smith Jr., though. They had Dennis Smith Jr. there at seven.
I think Lauri Markkanen.
Really? So if you had the number one, if you had the number three pick, and you'd pick Lauri Markkanen?
So this is tough. Because, I mean, I'm very high on Darren Fox.
You like Lauri Markkanen? All right, sorry, not that. I stick to the question. Dennis Smith.
Markkanen. I think for the Bulls in their situation with receiving Chris Dunn in this trade. I don't think that the jury's necessarily out on him. He didn't have a good rookie year. Playing on Tibbs was probably tough on him. I think that Hoiberg can maybe develop him a little bit better in this setting. It's to be determined with him. I think he could be a decent point guard. I'm not very high on him, but they have that spot filled, and that's the reason why they traded for Chris Dunn. Also, Zach LaVine as a shooting guard, as you said, coming off that injury, Achilles, you don't really know how he's going to recover, if he's going to have the same amount of explosiveness, but he was a 20-point scorer. He's wet from deep, and I think
he's more of a handle and shoot guy. He's not really like, he doesn't dunk on dudes. He's only bodied up one dude in the league. Like, he can do that, but that's not really like, you know, I guess he is really nice in the open floor. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but yeah, but you're right, though. It's in the open floor that he's really good. He's not the type of guy that's going to break you off the dribble and then hammer on guys in the lane. But I think the main piece in that trade was Lauri Markkanen, and I really like that draft pick. And I think he's a decent piece to build around. I mean, again, he's 7 foot. He's got a great shot from deep, and he was making like NBA three-pointers last year, pick and pop, which is impossible to guard in this league, and he can put the ball on the floor, and I just think he can really develop in this league. So with all that being said, the other moves
also, Dwayne Wade opted in. We forgot to mention that Dwayne Wade opted into his $24 million deal. Of course he did. Goodness, that's a bad deal from last year.
Yeah, he just wants to get paid.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
He took all those pay cuts in Miami, and now it's just him and Gabriel Union are just kind of living the life.
I don't like the Felicio deal. I'm going to say that as well. I think 32 mil over four is way too much money for a team where I don't know if they did that to stay away from like the salary floor. Like, I don't know where they're at with their salary cap situation. But that just seems like a lot of money for a guy that's like, yeah, he's all right. You know, he hustles. He gets boards. He's not doesn't look like the most intelligent player down in the post. It looks like he gets lost sometimes, but not a big – that's obviously not the biggest fish to fry with this Bulls team. But I just think that that's a deal where it's like, I don't know. I feel like that could come down to haunt you in year four of that contract.
Yeah, he can shoot, though.
Yeah, he's all right. He's all right.
He can shoot.
Would you want him for 32 mil over 4 years, though? I wouldn't.
Is that what the deal was?
Yeah, 32 mil over four. 8 mil a year.
Yeah, I mean, that's
John Lohr money, son.
It's true. It's a pretty steep contract. But all of that being said, I gave them a C.
Damn, dude. I gave them an F. That's because I'm not high on Markkanen over some of the guys that they passed on. I really hated the pick swap. I don't like the Cristiano Felicio deal, and I don't. The only good move that I have that they did was they signed Justin Holiday for 2 years, 9 mil. So that's the only reason I gave him a straight F, though. I thought that they did a horrible job this offseason.
That's understandable. I mean, the reason why I gave them a C is because I really like Lauri Markkanen, and I think he could do something special.
All right, that's fair. All right, so let's finish it off. We're done. Thanks for sticking with us. Joe, you want to read off your? I have it at the bottom there. Your top, your bottom 15.
Bottom 15. So I have the Knicks at 10, the Bulls at 11, the Nets at 12, the Pacers at 13, Magic at 14, and the Hawks at 15.
All right. We're going to revisit this, too.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Pacers at 10, the Nets at 11, the Bulls at 12, the Knicks at 13, the Magic at 14, and the Hawks at 15. So we only agree on the bottom two teams. Everybody else we have different opinions. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see next year for sure. I'm actually kind of excited to look back on that. That was fun.
Yeah. Now I'm excited for some hoops.
Me too.
Season started.
I'm also very excited to not see the Pistons anywhere near there.
Yeah, and hopefully in the upper echelon.
Yes, for sure. Maybe, yeah.
Probably not, but...
Yeah, probably not. Spoiler alert, they're not in our top tier podcast. They're next episode. All right, guys. Well, thanks for sticking with us. Joe, you want to spell at them real quick?
Yeah, follow us on Twitter, Inside the Cylinder, spelled CYLNDR. Give us a shout out, ask us some questions, give us a poll, whatever you want to do. We'd be glad to chat with you and bring up some fresh topics here.
For sure. You can check us on Twitter, obviously, and then also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podcast Addict. We're not on Spotify. I think we need to like tap Chris on the shoulder about that. Be like, yo, we need to get Almighty Baller Network over on Spotify. Stay tuned for next week's episode too. All right, peace.
Thanks, guys. Peace.